Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
You guys are way, 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 way too kind. Way too kind. Oh, let's just take a moment to focus on Jesus. His presence has been so beautiful today. Oh, I just get here. I feel like I'm in the lounge room. I love the house of God. I love the house of God. I love the house of God so much. I love this house of God so much. He loves this house so much. He really does. He really does. And I know that you guys are praying people, and so I know that you know how much He loves this house. But I just feel like I'm in a lounge room, and I love that Tom just talked about sons and daughters, because I can tell you, for those of you who don't know me, first of all, I'm going to cry a lot tonight, but that's okay and totally normal. And second of all, like, I'm not some huge, like, I'm a leader and I'm like a pastor and honestly, I just feel like I'm a daughter. I feel like I'm a Shulamite. I feel like I'm just a little daughter doing their best to follow Jesus in a lounge room with their friends tonight, which is honestly no other place, honestly, I would rather be. I walked around following the things of the world for a good part of the first 30 years of my life until I found true living water. And you have been thirsty for 30 odd years, running to something, tasting of it, realizing that you get thirsty very quickly when you find living water. There's really no place I'd rather be tonight. You guys can take your seats. I am also thirsty. Oh, during worship, I just heard like a child's voice singing, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain, it's a good day. Who knows it's a good day today? Oh, yes, it's a good day. Spent most of it a little bit drunk in the Holy Spirit, not gonna lie, but I preach a lot better drunk than I do sober, so be grateful. We had Pastor Ben this morning who just shared his heart, Pastor Joe and Pastor Ben this morning, who shared their heart. And if you haven't heard, jump on the podcast or on YouTube or on all the things. I'm really blessed by their sacrifice and just the way that they've followed the Lord. And one thing that he did touch on was the book of Joshua, which personally encouraged me a lot, because that's what we're going to go through tonight, is Joshua. You can turn in your word to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start at the start. And I've just been leaning in, asking the Lord, like, God, what are you doing? You're doing so much in this season, but what do you want to share with us as your little people? As your little sheep, what do you want to share with us? And I mean, you don't have to be a prophet to know that we are in a season of transition. But my gosh, I feel like we are totally standing on the edge of the Jordan, about to pass over. And that's kind of what I want to share tonight, is the posture of a people who are about to pass over. The posture of a people who are about to pass over. Before I jump in to verse 1, I just want to give you a little bit of context, of background. And we're going to go through a lot of scripture tonight, and I am not sorry for that because it is anointed. My words may be a little less, but the scripture is for sure. So we encounter Joshua in a moment. So backtrack a little bit. God has made a covenant with Abraham and his family to become the people of Israel, to become the people of God. They're enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. And then through Moses, God rescues his people finally, a long time, 300 years, that they've been hearing and knowing of the promises of God, but they've been enslaved in Egypt. My faith has been tested this year, but I have not been 400 years in slavery. So finally, Moses rescues the people of God, makes a covenant with them on Mount Sinai. He brings them through this wilderness. So the people of Israel, who I feel like we are in this story sometimes, the people of Israel who are following Moses through the wilderness for 40 years, finally, they come to almost the point of passing over into the promised land. They can, I think they can see it. The Jordan is not so wide. They can probably see the other side. They can see Canaan on the other side. And then all of a sudden, as everything is about to happen, Moses dies. And that's a really big thing for the people of God. Moses was their first like freedom person. Like they were looking for a leader. They were enslaved for 400 years. And then God raises up Moses. He comes along and he brings them into freedom. Like Moses for them is like, finally, like there's someone here. And then he stands up against Pharaoh, which I can't even imagine like what kind of might that would have taken. And he frees an entire people group. He is their freedom warrior, and he's now dead. And they haven't passed over yet into the promised land. So they're in this moment, a people of God who have been freed. They've been walking around the wilderness, finally come to the edge of the Jordan, and then the one who has led them all this very way, just about to step over into the promised land, dies. I think that could be a little bit unsettling. I know I would be very unsettled. I think it's a very vulnerable moment for the people of God, a very vulnerable moment for the children of God, just about to step into everything that God has promised. And then the one who has been leading them, the one that has brought them to this point, passes away. So verse 1, this is where we enter. This is where we enter. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. God just confirms what has happened. He's not going to raise him from the dead. He is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. See that God makes a promise to his people. He hasn't made a promise to Moses himself or to Joshua himself, but he's actually made a promise to his people that they will take this land from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. We're talking about kingdom territory taken for the Lord, the passing over for kingdom territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. So in this moment, just before the passing over of God's people, he does something. God does something. First of all, he reassures the people of God that he is faithful to his promise. Even though Moses has died and they have not yet stepped into what God has promised, he reassures the people that he is faithful to the promises that he covenanted with them. He reminds them of the territory that will be taken for the kingdom of God, that there is territory to be taken for him. And he promises that the presence will lead them just as it did with Moses. I feel tonight that God wants to remind us that he is faithful to his promises, that there is territory to be taken by this people of God for his kingdom, and that his presence will lead us. I was reminded just recently reading over the prophetic words that God has spoken over our house. God, when my faith has been waning, I've been looking at the prophetic promises for the last 4 or 5 years. What does God say about this house? What are his promises? What has he said is territory for us to take for his kingdom? And I just want to remind us all tonight about one of these things. So I'm going to read a prophetic word from 2019. Yeah, thanks, Lord. This is by Michael Maiden. And this was promised to our house in 2019. It says this, build the fire. Build the fire here until the nations once again see what I have done in this holy place. This place that gave birth to a revival, to a continent, will once again give birth to a revival of a generation. I am visiting this house that I may visit the earth, and I am visiting this people who will be stirred and be awakened. This is the hour. the Lord says, of my kingdom, of my spirit, and of my power, and they will come here and they will ignite torches from the flames of this house. Not few, but many. And many will come and call themselves after your name, but many more will take the fire and spread it in their own regions and their own moves. For I called you to be a house of fire. I called you to be a house of revival. I called you to be a house of my breath. Do you believe it, church? I am anointing every person in this house, Pastor Ben spoke to that this morning, to be a carrier of the flame of my presence, to be a carrier of the word of my mouth. And this will be a house of prophecy, and I will do in this nation what I have promised to do. I am going to exceed the limits of previous generations in this, at this time. And this in this place, I will do what I promised to do. And all the prophetic words that have been written on the walls of this house and cover the ceilings and the floor, that they are embedded in the intercession of saints that are here now and the ones that have gone to heaven. I will fulfill the promises of this house and nothing will stop me. And they will come and they will see and they will watch and they will partake. For the hour has come for the prophetic fulfillment of generations of prayers and generations of sacrifice and generations of prophetic words to be fulfilled. We are not in a small time church. But my glory will be seen in this city and it will draw men to me. It will draw nations to me. They say every city in this continent has a function, has a purpose, has a reason, and Melbourne's is called to shine. You're called to shine for Jesus, to radiate his glory. And God is raising up this church. Its greatest hour is now, not yesterday. Its greatest hour, it's just beginning, not ending. Its greatest hour is the future, not the past, and God will fulfill his promise. I saw last night, this is Dr. Michael still prophesying. I saw God saying, I am so happy to have a place where I can pour out my heart for the nations. Into this, that there will be all kinds of prayers erupting from this place for the nations. I will change nations from this auditorium and I will change cultures from this auditorium. But not only will God awaken inside the heart of your people a desire for the nations, but then God will raise up the same ones and send them out to the nations. And the passion will precede the assignment and God will do something that has never been done before. God, we just pray that as you have declared and as you have said, that you would do all that is in your heart, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are truly the God of Joshua, that, Lord, that you are faithful to what you say, that you will fulfill the word that you have spoken. And Lord, we are reminded afresh of that today. Thank you, Jesus. He is faithful to his promise. There is territory to be taken and his presence will lead us. God shares something with Joshua in this moment, where he has just reminded Joshua and the people of who he is. Then he speaks to them about the posture to take of a people who are about to pass over into the promises of God. Verse 6, he says to this, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, had commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book, the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do all according to that that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Church, I wanted to encourage us in this season to be strong and to be courageous. to be strong and to be courageous, because there are promises to be inherited as we pass over. There are promises and prayers, just as this prophecy said, that have been in the works in the spirit realm for generations and generations. When Dr. Michael prophesied that, he didn't know, but actually when this building was renovated not that long ago, people who were here at the time, saints that have passed and gone elsewhere and graduated to heaven, actually wrote prophecy and prayer on the walls of this building. There is an inheritance to be taken. Be strong and be courageous, church. You know, sometimes I'm going to be really honest. In the last couple of months, there has been times when my faith has been truly tested, and I have not felt strong or courageous, to be very honest. And I remember one night, particularly when I was crying out to God, being like, God, this is hard. Like, this is so hard. This is really hard, Lord. And I was like, God, I don't know if I've got another prayer in me. I don't know if I've got another night of intercession in me. This is just really hard. And the Lord gave me this vision of a sea of faces. And when I looked a little closer to like see the faces that the Lord was showing me, it was all very young people. And I just love that I'm speaking to a generation of young people mostly tonight. I saw the faces of little ones that I knew, like Hope Samuel and Joy Samuel. And then behind them, I saw faces of ones that I didn't know, like a whole sea of them. I think kids that honestly probably aren't even born yet, but that are to inherit from this house. And the Lord said to me, look at their face, look at their face, look at their face. And I looked at their face, so full of hope, so full of expectation for God. And it was an invitation to just pray a little longer, to intercede a little longer, to tarry a little longer, not for myself, not for what I was going to inherit, but for what they would inherit, what a generation to come would inherit. You know, when we say yes to Jesus and we die and we're resurrected, when we go down into the baptism of water and we come up and we say yes to Him, you know, we're not saying yes for our lives. We're saying yes for Him. We're saying yes for His dream. We're saying yes for His plan. We're saying yes for His purpose. And we're saying yes to be the sacrifice sometimes for the things that we're never gonna see. And I feel like right now in this moment that we're in, this transition of passing over, we just gotta say a yes for those that are to come, for the inheritance, just like He said to Joshua, that will force an inheritance in this generation for the ones to come. I love that He says to Joshua to do everything in alignment with the word of God. You know, Moses was amazing. Moses gave the people of God the first written word of God. They'd only had the oral word of God until then. He gave them the written word of God, and He said in all of this movement into a place that they were going that they didn't know, in a way that they didn't know, stay firm in the anchor of the word of God. And lastly, He shares with them a promise that has honestly given me so much hope. He promises that He will be with them wherever they go. And He lovingly encourages them to follow His presence in this next journey, in these next steps. So now we come to the point where they're literally here waiting to pass over. And there's a few more instructions that are still to come. Verse 10, Joshua rallies the people of God and he gives them some instruction again. He tells them to prepare themselves. And honestly, I feel like that's where we're at. I feel like God is like, we have a little while to prepare ourselves for this passing over. So interesting. He says to them, he gives them instructions. So prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan and go to take the possession of the land that the Lord God promises you. There's a preparation. There's a preparation. There's a little bit of waiting, and then they're about to inherit some promises that have been a very long time in the waiting. It's really interesting when he talks about 3 days, right? So I want us to enter a little bit into the scripture right now, because I wonder what the people of God would have been thinking in those 3 days, you know? Like, why can't we just pass right through. I wonder if there were some who were like, but I remember the story that they were telling me about when my ancestors passed over this last river with Moses. Like, he just went to the Red Sea and then he had a staff and he had authority and he just came to the water and then he passed all the way through. Like, why do we have to be waiting 3 days? I wonder if there was some doubt. I wonder why it's 3 days this time. This isn't the way it's done before. I haven't heard it be done before like this. I wonder why, well, is Joshua still anointed? Like, is our leadership still anointed? Like, why do we have to wait 3 days? Why didn't we just like pass straight through? I wonder if doubt started to build up a little bit in their heart. I wonder if the ones, I mean, we're talking, this is a massive encampment of people. Commentators say there's like tens of thousands, if not up to millions of like people, family, livestock. Like, this is a whole group of people. So I wonder if the ones like that are right on the shore of the Jordan River are just watching the Jordan River flow day and night. It tells us in the Bible that literally the banks are swollen with the springtime rains. So the Jordan's not like at its lowest. The Jordan is at its highest. I wonder if it's just like you can hear, you know, when you get to a river and it's like, shh, or when you're camping, you're like, dang, nature's like really loud. Shh. And they're just standing there day and night as they sleep being like, shh. And they're looking at their kids who are like 2 and 5 and thinking like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to, shh, where even is Joshua? How are we going to pass over? I wonder if it felt like just the sound of the atmosphere at the time was doubt. Shh. I definitely know I felt like that a little bit on just some occasions during this time. I wonder if there was others in the camp who just kept retelling the stories of who they were. But we are children of Abraham, the one who God promised to, the one that couldn't have children, but then the Lord showed him the stars and here we are, here we are, here we are. I wonder if there was ones who were trying to stir up faith. I wonder what it was like to be in that camp. You know, there was ones that were close to the front, but then there was ones that were like maybe probably kilometers behind. I wonder if they were like, we haven't seen Joshua for days. I wonder if he's still here. Like, has he left us? Like, where's he gone? I wonder what it felt like to be the people of Israel at that moment. There are some real practical tensions before we pass over. There are some real emotional tensions in a people who are waiting to pass over. There are some real spiritual tensions in a people that are about to pass over. There are some real relational tensions in a people who are about to pass over. And I just feel like the heart of Father tonight was actually just to thank you. To thank you, because I know that all of us in this house, every child of this house, has felt in some way, in some moment, in some form, the tensions of transition. And truly today and over the last weeks and months, I've honestly just felt the pleasure of the Lord so on our house. We are not a perfect people, but so many of you have held your heart so beautifully in transition, have felt the tensions, have carried them in prayer, have held them up in intercession, have had such a godly and honorable posture in this time. And honestly, God just says, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. He really honors you. And I just want to share his honor for that tonight. I felt so honored to be part of a house that has pressed in. I have felt so honored to be in a house with brothers and sisters who have encouraged me when I've needed it. And I love that we get to encourage one another as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so they come to the end of this 3 days of waiting, not really knowing why, not really knowing if there was any purpose, not really knowing if Joshua had like got cold feet, that's what it's called, cold feet. And then we get to, the rest of chapter 3. So Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Shittim and they came to the Jordan. He had all the people of Israel, he and all the people of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of the 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people. As soon as you are to see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place to follow it. He's giving them instruction on how to posture for the Passover. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it of 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Pause. So how are we to posture ourselves in this moment where we're about to pass over into the promises of God? I love that Joshua starts off with something that is so practical for us. He says, stay behind the presence of God. Stay behind the presence of God. For you have not been this way before. I know I have not been this way before. I have not been 2024 this way before. Any shape, way or form, I have not been this way before. But we are also about to go in a way that we have not been before. So follow his presence. Stick behind his presence. This is a new way. And I think that would have been so interesting because the people of God before, when they passed over, right, with Moses, when they passed over the Red Sea, they followed a man through the waters into what was next. But this moment where they're about to pass over through the into the promised land, they are following the presence of God into the promised land. And I feel like, church, the invitation for us is just keep your eyes on the presence. Just keep following the presence of God. Just keep following the presence of God. Just keep following the presence of God. We have not been this way before. And then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. A new way, who knows, a new way requires a consecration. And we have this beautiful invitation into consecration. We have a beautiful invitation, I feel, in this very moment. I don't feel like it's going to exist after, before, but right now. Right now, there's an invitation to consecration, to letting go, to hanging on to God. That sounds really easy. I know, it sounds super easy. The last few weeks, I've been like, God, I'm coming here to consecrate myself. I know you're about to do something that I don't even have a comprehension about what it is that you're going to do. But I'm just trying to lay myself down. I'm like, Holy Spirit, help me. And I start to see all of these things that previously were like anointed by God and like and good and wholesome and life-giving and fruitful. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, just be careful you're not following a preference, but you follow my presence. And preferences aren't bad. Like these are good things. These are things that have held a lot of fruit previously. But I feel like we're getting into this place where God is going to do a new thing. And that there are some preferences in our hearts. I have them. I know. I've been trying to lay them down. I have them. I'm like, God, help me give up my preference for your presence. Help me give up your preference for this thing or the way this feels or how this looks or how I've done this in my life before. And help me, Holy Spirit, follow your presence into the new thing that you are doing. Help me let go. And this is a work of the Spirit, guys. This is not a work we can do ourselves. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus himself, do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's about to head to the cross, he gets down on his knees and he says this, which I find mind-blowing. He says, Father, if there's any other way. Dude, that's a crazy scripture. He is literally saying, hey, Father, I actually have a preference for another way. Like, if there's another way, I would prefer it. But if not, let your will be done. And it says like the Holy Spirit in that moment helps him give up what is in his heart for something else and helps him actually yield to the presence of God that leads to crucifixion. I cannot even imagine like that level of yielding. But I feel like the invitation is to invite the Spirit of God to help us yield to what he is doing. I cannot yield of my own accord. I have to ask the help of the Holy Spirit. Follow the presence of God. Let's consecrate ourselves. Let's understand what it is that we need to take over the river and what it is we need to leave. They had a lot of stuff. I've also been camped out there for 3 days, guys. There's a lot of animals that are doing a lot of, there's a lot of stuff that just needs to be left. Like a lot of animal manure, there's a lot of things. It can just be left. It can just be left. We don't need to take everything over this other side of the river, guys. We can just leave it. There is some stuff that needs to be left, and there is some stuff that needs to be taken. The posture of the people of God was also one of humility as they followed a new way. We actually, you know, cannot perceive the will of God and yield to the will of God without a humble heart that comes and says, God, I need your help. I don't know it. I don't have the answers. I don't know. I don't know what Healing Rooms is going to look like in the passing over. I don't know what some of the ministry areas I'm leading like looks like in the passing over. I don't know what is on the heart of God in the passing over and on the other side. But I just humble myself to say, God, whatever it is, you are good. You are better than my best idea. You so far have done a very good job at leading my life when I did a very bad job at leading my life. And so I just humbly surrender, as good as things are, to know that you have a new way and it is beyond my comprehension of my human mind. And I just yield to your Spirit and I say, Spirit, lead me beyond my mind and my heart. I'm gonna need the worship team just to come and join me. Let's enter in through the gate of humility. Let's go low. Let's go really low. Let's just assume we don't know. Woo! I mean, let's just try. Let's just see what happens. Let's just assume we don't know what it is God wants to do. Let's just assume we don't know how he wants to do it. And let's just each moment of the little things, just try and lean into him. I normally do this, this, and this. I don't know, God, what do you still want to do this? Where's your heart on this still? Is your heart still on this? Is your heart still on that? I don't know, but like, what could an entire bride look like? Humbled on their knees. Just saying, we don't know God, but we're listening. We don't know God, but show us afresh. God, we don't know what's on your heart in this moment, but would you tell us? I wonder what it could look like for our church, our little church, in every location, every family, every individual life, just to say, God, we have never been this way before. We don't know. We've passed over one way once. You want to do it a different way this way? We don't know. Because you know what happened in those 3 days when the Israelites were waiting, unknowing? Rahab happened. They went, the spies went out. They went out to see the city of Jericho. There's a whole God story in chapter 2 that you can go and read. Basically, God was working behind the scenes. Wild ways. And it actually says that not only did he already turn the hearts of the people in that city, it said their hearts already melted. He was preparing the land of Passover in the random waiting that the Israelites had just of these 3 days. You know what, church? I just want to say God has been working. He has been working. He has been working. He has been working. He has been working. Let's go low. Let's be yielded. Let's follow the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. Let's follow his leading. This is what it says, verse 14. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped into the brink of the water. Now the Jordan, it reminds us, was overflowing its banks. The waters coming down from above stood up and rose up in a heavy in a heap very far away at Adam. Pause. The people of God followed the instructions of the Lord. They followed the priests. This is the moment, right? It's like you have 40 years of wilderness. Like they've been going around and around and around. 3 days they've waited. I mean, the anticipation must have been like so tangible in the air. The priests take the Ark of the Covenant. They take one step into the water, just as Joshua has instructed. And nothing happens, guys. Like where they are right now, nothing happens. The Bible tells us that in Adam, the water stood up. Adam is 32 kilometers upstream of where the people of God are. Not what they expected. Not what they expected. Upstream starts to build a wall, and then people are still watching. Shh. What is going? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how long it took for all of that water to rush down from Adam until the priests were finally standing with their feet on dry ground. But God, He came as a baby when they wanted a warrior. He does not do something two ways the same time. Jesus, when He healed the blind man one time, spits in dirt, heals him another time, heals him in a totally different way. I tell you what, our God is a river and He is a spirit and He is a fire and He is a wind and He is not going to come the same way twice. And we need to be people that hear Him, that can follow His presence, and then when we feel like it's not happening how we thought it was going to happen, we can wait. And we can have faith and we can wait knowing that, no, God, You said it and we're waiting. We're standing behind Your presence and we are not moving. We are waiting. We are not moving. Because all of a sudden, then the feet of the priests stood in dry land. And this is what happened. Listen. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground. And in the midst of the Jordan, all Israel was passing over dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. All the people and all a nation. It confounds my mind to think that God would choose us to move something in a nation. But I truly believe He is. I truly believe He is. In many ways, we have some incredible young people who are here tonight, and they're not just made for this city, they are made for this nation. We have a sound of this house that is ready to bless a nation. There are so many things in our house, people, families, revelation that is here, not just to see a people pass over, but to see a nation come to know Christ. The previous time the people of God passed over the Red Sea and walked into freedom. This time, a generation walked into the promises of God, following the presence of God, not just for themselves, but for a generation to come. I wonder if you would just stand with me. Lord, we just thank You that what You want to do in and through us, Lord, just confounds my mind, and that we are here not filling Your presence, honestly, for ourselves. Although I know that You want to bless and You want to open a storeroom of heaven that has been banking up for so long now. But that God, we would follow You for the generations and generations that are going to receive of what is to come. God, I pray that we would be a people group that may pass over, that a nation may pass over. That the promises of God may truly be fulfilled through this people for the generations to inherit, just like it was with the people of Israel at the time of Joshua. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord God Almighty is with you, church, wherever you go. Stay humble. Stay unified, for we have not passed this way before. God, I pray that You would consecrate. Help us consecrate. Help us let go and lay down what we do not need to take over. Shule hala makura makara mateara boshehenanai. Pure bakahara matura baboshehenanai. You're just free. We're going to have just some time of ministry, but you are free to just respond to God however you like, however you like. God, we are humbled that you would choose us. Maraboshe. We are humbled that you would choose us. We thank you, God. You continue to lead us and guide us. Yeah. Kure bahananai. Shiranana masse haraboshe karamamasi arabai. Fure bakala moshe karamamasi aramamosi aranai. Pure bakahamana mate aramomoshe karamayeramamamaye. We have not been this way before, God. Lead us, guide us. Let your presence be our guide. Maraboshu, mama mate raboshe aramama. Pure bakahara mama tia raboshe karamamama siti aranai. Pure mahana yera momo siara mama shiere de siara mama mai. Kure bakara mama siere ba shiere na na na. Pure bakahara momo shiere ba momo siara mama ma siere be shiere dai. Kure bakahara mama ma shiere be.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.